Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
Since Alcatraz shut down in 1963, they have a swimming event on an annual basis there where you go from roughly where Alcatraz is back to shore in San Francisco, and it's a routine open water event for swimmers. Some use wetsuits, and it's about a 1.25 mile swim. So I was thinking about this.
Oh, here we go.
If I can ride a bike,
okay,
65 miles to Atlantic City.
Swimming is way different.
It is. I get it. Trust me. I've tried to do laps. It's great. It's great cardio, great conditioning if you want to get in shape. But if I was given 3 months to train, and we've got a bunch of bike trainers out there. I'm sure there's a swimmer trainer out there. I would actually train, right? Mm. I would do it. Get me the proper equipment so I don't freeze to death or however cold that water is. And I know it's shark infested. I'm going to have a couple of people out on little boats, little skiffs with scopes. You know, if they see any great whites, they take them out, protect me. I think I could do the mile and a quarter swim on a nice, beautiful day. Now, I'm not going to go out there in the middle of a typhoon, but I actually think I could do it.
Okay.
A mile and a quarter. I mean, think about that. A mile and a quarter? You said people can't do it. People can't swim a mile and a quarter?
Do you know how long a mile and a quarter is in choppy water?
Yeah.
Well, like, again, I want to go out there when it's relatively calm.
And
with professional supervision.
The bay around Alcatraz is like 45 degrees. You would die of hypothermia.
It's never warmer than 45 degrees?
I don't know that for a fact, but it's not. San Francisco is not this, you know.
Oh, I know. It's not
warm.
It's not LA. I got
warm,
it.
Yeah. Beautiful climate. It's actually a terrible climate.
Yeah, the weather's a little overrated in the Bay. A little foggy, a little cool. You know what we should do? We should see if I can do it in the Schuylkill or the Delaware first. We've got people out there, businesses, swim instructors. Let's make this a big thing.
You're insane.
I'm willing to do it for the sake of content, folks.
In the Schuylkill. You're going to do it in the Schuylkill.
Or the Delaware. Or a lake. Or the Atlantic Ocean. We're not landlocked here. We got access to a lot of water.
Do you know how far out a mile and a half is if you start at shore? Do you know how far out that is in an ocean?
I'm coming from the middle of the water back to shore. So the tide's bringing me in. Remember that.
All right, so like we would go out a mile and a half on a boat.
My wife doesn't think I can do it. She wants to be in the boat and watch a shark eat me.
Nobody thinks you can do it.
Thought I could do the bike ride either.
No, that is wrong.
Oh,
that is 100% wrong.
People, for 2 years, Kale, you're never going to be able to do it. Oh, let's see if you can do it again next year. I did it last year with almost no training. I'm willing to give it a shot. I feel confident in my ability.
We're not going to let you.
Right now, I'd probably sink and drown because I feel like a fat schlub. I'm about 15 pounds overweight. Let me get in my prime peak condition with some swim training and some instructions, you know, how to breathe, what the stroke is, how to move your head, kick your legs, you know.
Breaststroke.
I love the breaststroke. Big breaststroke fan. Yes. I think I could do it.
Nobody thinks you can do it.
That's fine. Everybody always doubts Nick Kale.
Do you know these like swimmers, like these athletes? You know that like they're in peak condition. They all have zero body fat.
I've watched Michael Phelps.
Their lung capacity is better than like what's going to happen if you get out there and you cramp?
Why don't we get? Here's what we do: we get Riley Gaines, we get Paula Scanlon, perhaps we even book Leah Thomas. I'll let Leah Thomas train me.
Chris Appolito wants to know if you're going to wear swimmies.
I'll wear the proper required outfit. If that's a scuba kit, if a wetsuit with little flippers on my feet to protect my tootsies, I'm good.
I'm going to sound elitist here, but I don't care. This is just doing about 10 laps in a pool is hard enough.
How many laps in a typical pool at the YMCA would equate to 1.25 miles? We'll start off indoors. I'll start at maybe we could do it at the NAC. We'll go out to Bucks County. We'll film it. I'll train indoors.
You have to train for the conditions. You're not going to be in
slow build.
80-degree temperature water inside.
Yes.
You're going to be in 40-degree choppy water.
Just like training for the bike ride. I started off with 5 miles. Then I did 10. Then I did 15. Then I did 25 when it was 90 out. Then I did 35. Then I did the full 65. I'm not saying I'm just going to jump in, like a virgin on prom night. I'm going to build myself up here a little bit. I'm going to work my way through. Give me more challenging environments. We'll go from a pool to a lake to the Schuylkill to the Delaware to the Atlantic. And then I'll conquer Alcatraz. I'm willing to do it.
Don,
let's go. Let's go, Odyssey.
Don, you're the eternal optimist. Do you have faith in Nick?
Get your lawyers. Get your sales
staff.
There's
no reason that you have to do this.
Thank you.
I have to do this.
Thank you.
Don't have to do it.
I just love to prove my wife wrong.
That's the only reason you do this is to prove her wrong?
No, I think it would actually be fun.
Okay.
And we can get people to join me. We can do like a ride. Sign a waiver.
Nobody else wants to do it.
I think there's people out there, though. I think Road Warrior would.
Swimming is hard.
I know.
Swimming
is
very hard.
It's not one of my favorite things to do, honestly.
Let alone swimming in an ocean or a body of water where there's a current.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm willing to give it a shot, folks. Trump has inspired me. Not only do I want to bring Alcatraz back, I want an El Salvadorian prison, just like Bukele has, for all the scumbags in this country, and then I want to swim.
Phil Almquist, in Olympic pool, 1 mile is 32.2 laps.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. 32 laps? And all right, maybe I can't. Wow, 32.
Just to put it in perspective.
All right, you know, I'm done dreaming. Let's get back to reality. All right, it was all a ruse. 32 laps, really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I got to hand it to, this is Cut 9. I believe this is WFFA TV that did this report, which I think is good. Apparently, there's a lot of non-citizen truck drivers. And they are operating in the United States on non-domicile CDLs that have been discovered working from ghost offices. These trucking companies are using fake addresses and stacking multiple motor carrier numbers into one location. Further proof that our agencies are selectively enforcing the law to the detriment of the entire trucking industry. So, you know, I know we have a lot of truck drivers that listen to this show.
Yeah, we do.
And they operate heavy machinery. So you have these people that maybe should not be, that are driving around illegally here or whatever. Roll this.
Some trucking companies are registered to a fake address, hiding in plain sight. They're evading federal oversight and putting public safety at risk. In tonight's WFAA investigation, senior investigative reporter Tanya Iser uncovers how hidden carriers are slipping through the cracks.
West Commerce is home to many businesses. There's a body shop, a crab joint.
And this building right here, 20 trucking companies call it home.
That's crazy.
A WFA investigation found all those companies are registered to 539 West Commerce, a virtual mailbox spot called physicaladdress.com.
We are a mail handling service, so that's all that we do is just handle mail.
For as little as $8 a month, anybody can set up shop here.
Oh my God.
No truck required. It's also illegal. And here's why. When a trucking company registers with the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, or FMCSA, it must list its principal place of business. It's where the company's supposed to keep driver and safety records, and where federal regulators can show up to inspect those records. That must be a real physical address, not just a mailbox or a P.O. box. So they wouldn't actually be physically here.
No, they would not be working here physically, no.
So if, like, the federal government wanted to come check records for that company or any of those companies, they wouldn't come here?
No.
It's a red flag.
Dale Prax owns Freight Validate, a company that tracks fraud and identity theft in trucking. He says this is how hidden carriers thrive, using virtual addresses or P.O. boxes to dodge scrutiny and operate in the shadows.
That the bad guys are less apt to register properly.
Take a look at this quiet building in Signal Hill, California. Doesn't look like the headquarters of hundreds of trucking companies, right? But federal records show nearly 700 freight companies tied to this single address.
Oh my God.
Roughly 500 of those companies list the same email.
At an AOL.
WTF, FMCSA at AOL.com.
How ridiculous and absurd is this?
Prax reported this exact address to federal regulators 2 years ago.
If we all know about it and we reported it, why is something not being done?
FMCSA said in a statement, the agency has confirmed that the address is a legitimate business address for a motor carrier consultant who represents many small motor carriers based in California.
All right, let's stop it right there if we can. So, now I'm assuming the reason they can't apprehend these individuals is whoever is setting up those addresses to those locations never actually come by to get their mail, right? Like, so that's just a front to establish whatever, you know, absurd activities they're partaking in, whether it's drug trafficking, human smuggling, all the sex workers, things like that. I guess my question would be, why is the government, because they're registered with, and they have vehicles, and they have license plates, I've got to imagine there's some level of identity of the individuals. Why are they not cracking down on that? And what exactly are they doing with these big trucks? And who? And if another company, if a legitimate company is hiring these drivers, how are they getting them through the system?
Well, it's in California, right? It's a California company. And think about California is always where all the restrictions and regulations, that's ground zero. For every restriction, every regulation, remember, you know, think about all the companies like Elon Musk. Remember, I think they're still persecuting him in court, if not, that maybe they just resolved it. But this is like regulation central. And yet, why aren't they regulating this? And if they're not, then what's the agenda?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great point. Yeah. There's tons of red tape in California, just not for this.
A little bit more.
All right.
CSA's website. A motor carrier may not designate the office of a consultant if the motor carrier is not engaged in operations at that location.
It's impossible to have that be an actual place of business. My argument is we know there's something wrong.
The agency did not specifically address the use of the email WTF FMCSA @AOL.com. Back in 2023, Prax saw a pattern. About 200 carriers a month registering with P.O. boxes or virtual mailboxes.
We would notify FMCSA that says, hey, this guy should not be issued as authority.
He says the agency listened, and now they flag those applications with warning letters.
Just because a trucking company uses a virtual address like here on West Commerce Street doesn't mean they're up to no good.
Some of these owner-operators live in their truck. So a lot of times they will look for, hey, you know, I don't really have a physical address.
Not everybody who does that is a bad guy. Most of the bad guys, that's what they're going to do.
Agreed. I think that's an accurate statement. That's what the bad guys are going to do 99% of the time.
Wow.
It's amazing how the bad guys are always just one step ahead, or maybe they're not one step ahead, but nobody cares to follow through with it. All right. 855-839-1210. Let me actually grab Mark in Philadelphia first. He's got some thoughts on the story that we're talking about right now. Mark, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Hey, good morning, guys. Love you. Love you, lady. Hey.
Thank you.
Listen, I up here in Northeast, Franklin Mills Mall, are you familiar with that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going on, but there's like hundreds of tractor trailers. And it's like, if you go up there, it's like driving into the Middle East. It's not like one white person training to drive these trucks.
Wow.
It is like, dude, it is really, and I actually parked there in one parking lot, and the guy kicked me out. He's like, I own this property. I'm like, hey, you don't, Franklin Mills owns the property. Like, he like actually wants to like kick me out.
Wow.
It's amazing. They have a whole parking lot set up so you could train how to drive, tractor trailers, and I don't see anything other than like Middle Eastern people driving it.
The one job, but out of the many jobs that you would need, you would hope there was a lot of oversight because of what they're hauling and the size
exactly
of the truck.
Right.
You would think it would be this industry, but for some reason, it seems to go under the radar.
That is pretty remarkable.
Like that,
dude,
it's ridiculous.
It makes me nervous.
It does. Me too. Me too.
Can I ask you a question?
Love you, Greg. Thanks, man.
Love you too, Mark.
I just wanted to ask him because he said, I just wonder if he's saying these individuals, he said they're, I'm inferring from him that English is not a first language.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To put it nicely.
He's saying from that these individuals, he's not saying they're speaking Spanish.
No, he said Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, by the way, too, when we're talking about all of these self-deportations, I love how the mainstream media, this drives me nuts. They always say it's just Hispanic people. Not just Hispanic people. It's Middle Eastern. It's Asian. They act like there was only of the 15 million people that came up through the southern border 4 years ago, that they were only of Latino descent. There are people from all over the planet.
Yep.
It's just the same narrative with race, as if black people are the only people that receive racism. Everybody receives racism. My God. I'm so sick of it. Well, it's just the Latinos. No, it's not. You just heard it right there. Leslie in Radnor, swimming aficionado.
Uh-oh.
And she says, I will die.
You will die.
She probably wants me to die. Hello, Leslie.
Hi, how is everybody? Can they hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, welcome.
Welcome. Yes, you welcome
so
you as well.
I know. Thank you. First time caller.
Long time listener.
I heard about your Alcatraz claim. And there is a local, you know, I'm sorry, I was born in California and I'm a lifelong swimmer. And my attorney, Nathan Shadler, who's local in Montgomery County, and his daughter won Alcatraz open water age groups a few years ago.
So they do have those events. Okay, I knew that was correct.
Yeah.
But they won it, and I wanted to give you Nathan's number, who he was a D1 swimmer. He's what we call an elite adult swimmer.
Okay.
His daughter is a highly ranked junior, and there's no way you can, I'm sorry, whoever you are that biked to Atlantic City.
Yeah, my name's Lou.
I don't mean to offend you.
No, that's okay.
I really don't mean to offend you.
No, I'm highly.
You're just not going to be able to do that race.
All right, so here's.
But you can do other races.
Here's what we're going to do,
so
Leslie.
Call Nathan.
Okay, here's what.
Call
I'm gonna,
Nathan and he'll coach you.
All right, Leslie, just hold your horses for 1 second. I just don't want you to give the number out on the air, so I'm going to put you back on hold.
Okay.
Jimmy Kelly.
No problem.
Jimmy Kelly is going to get the phone number, and then I, Lou, the guy you never heard of, is going to call Nathan and his 11-year-old daughter, and we will coordinate that. Thank you very much. There's Leslie. She didn't know who she was talking to. She just said, yeah, the guy that I'm talking to has no chance.
Well, I think she got all like she got all excited.
Yeah, that's right.
We love Leslie. She knew initially.
Yeah.
But I just looked it up. You're right. Alcatraz Shark Fest swim race. There's an actual race.
I know. I've done my I was doing my research last night. It's a thing. It's a thing. Now, I'm going to be like a total chauvinistic pig here. I think if a 12-year-old girl can do it, I can do it. I mean, there's a reason why we don't have men and women sports. There's biological differences.
Oh, you're wrong,
right?
Buddy.
Right?
Yeah.
You let me and the 12-year-old train together for 3 months, and I'm going to tune her up. Just like Leah Thomas. Just like Leah Thomas did Riley Gaines. You know why? Because Leah Thomas is a man pretending to be a chick.
Here's the headline. 2025 Alcatraz Shark Fest Swim. This event is for experienced open water swimmers only.
I'll die. You're right. I mean,
right.
I probably won't be able to finish.
Nope.
32. Wow, a 12-year-old girl, though.
That's amazing.
Is it a body weight thing? I'm wondering if I have to shed 40 pounds here.
I don't want to sink. Mid-50s to mid-60s.
Yeah, man, that feels good. Yeah, jump in the water at 62 degrees on a hot day.
Oh, God, dude. Yeah, it's freezing. You know what 62 degrees feels like, dude?
I can imagine hearing Stalker jumping off of a pontoon into the bay by Alcatraz.
Holy crap!
Hair's all wet.
I'm calling BS that it's shark infested. Sharks don't like that cold of water, do they?
No. It's true.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
All right. Quick break. We'll come back. Get to. Do we have time for a big three with Dawn?
I don't know. We may have to get it to a guest.
My fault. Yes.
Do it on the other side.
All right. Let's. Let me grab. Do I have time for the call?
Yeah.
Dave in South Philly. Dave, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Yeah. Good morning. Good morning. I have three things to talk about real quick. Why doesn't President Trump bring in the regular army? They're 18 to 30 year olds that can bang heads. Every time I talk to a police officer, they tell me there's nothing they can do when they're worried about their pension.
Yeah.
They don't want to worry about nothing about corralling the protesters or anything. The reserves are not enough. When you bring in the reserve army, that's nothing. Those guys are worried about their families.
Thought about that, too. Can you imagine if at some of these bodegas and shops in Philly and New York, if there's a dude there in military fatigue with an M16? Like, nobody would mess with that shop. Nobody would mess with it.
You think the administration, though, is worried about the optics? I mean, the moment they do that, the media's going to be all over it.
Trump already did it his first term, right? What was it, Minnesota, a city in Minnesota, another one in Oregon?
Yeah.
Those protesters ran like crazy scared, if you remember that scene.
Yeah.
Trump sent in active military in when?
That's the only way to do it.
No, no, no. When? No, no. You're saying he did it before. When did he? What?
During some of the protests, I think.
During the George Floyd stuff?
You don't remember?
Yeah. What, 2020?
I don't remember when it was.
I didn't know that they were active military, you know. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I'm not against it. Trust me. Look, you got to do what you got to do to get the big cities under control. I'm totally on board with that. I just don't think that's going to happen. 855-839-1210 is the phone number. We'll come back. Bottom of the hour, Trey Wallace from OutKick. Will Donald Trump be able to corral name, image, and likeness in the world of college athletics? If you're interested in capitalism, free enterprise, regulation, deregulation, the House, the government getting involved in your ability to earn, this is going to be an interesting conversation, and it's all under the umbrella of competition and capitalism. We'll get to that when we come back. Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Donald Trump last week getting together with Nick Saban at the commencement for the University of Alabama, and Trump throwing in his opinion and his expertise on maybe how to kind of wrangle in the wild, wild west that is college football of paying players. Very interesting story, and here to break it down is Trey Wallace from OutKick. Good to see you again, buddy. It's been a couple of years.
My man, it is great to see you, buddy, out here killing it up in Philly and across the country, man. So it's great to reconnect, and especially during such a crazy time in college athletics.
Yeah, I didn't think you and I would ever be speaking about college football on this platform, on this station, in this city. But when Donald Trump gets involved, then you factor in things like capitalism, free enterprise, regulating, deregulating, kind of falls under that umbrella. And this is in the courts. And, you know, according to what you wrote, the Wall Street Journal broke the story about Trump meeting with Nick Saban before leaving Mar-a-Lago on how to kind of get this thing under wraps. And for the non-astute college football listener this morning, for those who don't know, college athletes for a bazillion years were not able to make money and get paid. They did get paid, but it was on the down low. Then in 2021, name, image, and likeness comes along, and these young adults are able to cash in and, you know, make some money for themselves in addition to the millions they make for their schools, their conferences, and their networks. So take us through this. Explain to my audience how we went from athletes not being able to make a penny to now all of a sudden there's no limits and no guardrails whatsoever.
Yeah, I think it all starts when you have a lawsuit that is filed, right before 2021. It was 3 years prior. And pretty much what it was is, how does the NCAA, how are they going to tell us players that we cannot make money off the name that's on the back of our jersey, on the name that is, you know, being autographed, on the name that is a school using us as a platform to sell tickets and make revenue? And I think where we got to a point was, first off, the NCAA was tired of dealing with lawsuits about this. Okay. And then it turns into, okay, well, we're going to set up this name, image, and likeness deal. And it reminds me of going back to the Johnny Manziel days. You know, where Johnny Manziel was flying to Miami and he was signing autographs and during his heyday, you know, and so everybody kind of, and then we saw a couple instances where players were getting in trouble for signing autographs on the side and making some cash. And I'm talking like, you know, $1,000 upward to $3,000-$4,000. So it finally got to a point where, okay, it's time to, you know, the athletes kind of had the power here. We're tired of dealing with antitrust cases. So NIL, there was the inception, and it started right around 2021. We knew it was coming, even dating back to 2019. But the problem and why things have gone off the rails is, first off, they started this without much supervision by the NCAA. The NCAA pretty much said, okay, here you go. You can go make money off your name, image, and likeness. But here's the thing. We don't really know how to put up guardrails. We don't really know how to make sure everybody is doing it the correct way. So have at it. And then the problem is you had agents get into the game. And I use agents, man, in a very, very precarious way. Because, Nick, you know this, man. There were street agents. There were handlers. There was guys around the programs and these players they decided, okay, I'm going to start helping these athletes out. And man, there were some shady deals that started off at first. If folks don't know the name by now, Nico Iamilava, he was a Tennessee quarterback for a time being. He signed the first big shocking deal when it comes to NIL, $8 million over a 3.5 year time period. By the way, got a 6-figure signing bonus while he was in high school. He was flying around on private jets back and forth to Knoxville and different appearances and whatnot. So that really shook the ground. That was the first one. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. Then all of a sudden, these colleges, and I'm afraid it's the right way, these boosters, these collectives, which a collective is just a collective of boosters that is putting together a lot of money to pay for a roster, to get the best players to a team. All of a sudden, you had the Texas A&M shenanigans, where Texas A&M put together this roster that, you know, should have won a national championship with the amount of money they were spending. So what this turned into, Nick, was it wasn't about their name, image, and likeness. It wasn't about them being on commercials or the local Chevy dealership, wherever mm-hmm. you're in, whichever town. Yep. It turned into, okay, we're going to pay this player $250,000 and they're going to come play for our school. And then it's okay. And then it's like, all right, how long is this going to last? And by the way, this is going on at most of your power schools around college athletics. It really started to trickle into basketball really over the last 3 to 4 years. But college football, Nick, is where everything took off.
Sure. And, sure.
Yeah. And you had teams that were literally just paying players, like in the days prior to 2021, you had deals being done in hotel parking lots. You had bags being dropped off at a front doorstep. So now what it turned into is, okay, how much can we pay for the quarterback, the starting offensive lineman, the defensive tackle, and we got to outbid the other schools.
Yeah.
So, so when you don't have guardrails, when you don't have any kind of protection, when there's no rules really on how to do this and there's nobody really paying attention, everything went crazy.
Yeah, and it's what really drove guys like Saban out of the sport, because now correct. All of a sudden there's no guardrails. The players have a lot of power. The coaches hate that because they're used to being the most powerful, high-paid employee in the entire state. But I see we've got, judges. This is in the courts. Do you think the federal government should get involved? And specifically with Trump, when you were writing about him, do you think he can sign an executive order to kind of formulate some at least loose framework for what this should look like? Or should the president and the federal government stay out of this and allow the NCAA and conference commissioners to figure out a structure?
The problem is you've had congressmen and women that have been putting this out there, trying to pass bills, trying to get, favoritism towards this one compared to another one. Representative Jordan, is one of them that's been Cory Booker as well. You got Marshall Blackburn involved. And what they're doing is they're trying to set this up in a bill where they don't get slammed with a bunch of antitrust cases. Because really, how are you going to tell an athlete how much he can make? How are you going to tell an athlete, okay, you can only have a certain amount of years in college? So really it got down to a point of, if we don't try something federally, and also look, there have been conference commissioners from the ACC, the Big Ten, the SEC, you name it. They've been on Capitol Hill. They've been trying to lobby for this bill, trying to lobby for help when it comes to reeling this in. And if I'm being honest with you, they can pass a bill in Congress, but you know what? Lawyers are going to come right back on the other side and they're going to start suing for even more. And they're going to say, wait a minute, you're violating my client's ability to make money. If you try to put, this house settlement that's coming up, and maybe a lot of people don't understand it, but really to break it down, the schools are going to get around $20.3 million per year, and they're going to be able to break that up into football, basketball, women's sports, and whatnot. Football is going to get the majority of that, around $16 to $17 million. So right now you're looking at it, Nick, and you have got Greg Sankey and Brett Yormack and these commissioners that are like, look, please help us. because we can't keep going to court every time something happens or every time a player thinks he's getting screwed out of a deal. Or at the same time, you know, this player thinks he should be able to stay in college for 8 years. Yeah. There's a lot that goes into it. But, yeah. Nick, if the president wants to sign an executive order, have at it. But my biggest thing is, what kind of guardrails are you trying to put up around this? And what does an executive order actually do? Right. Because if you come out and say, okay, I'm signing this order, it's going to protect colleges and universities, you know, from being taken to court every single day, and we're going to try to have some kind of structure for NIL. I got news for you. We have seen multiple cases taken to court to challenge the NCAA. So what do you think is going to come next? And I would imagine any kind of executive order that they try to sign, there's going to be loopholes in that. And there's going to be something that is limiting these players in some form or fashion, because they hold the power now, Nick.
Yep.
And I think, look, Nick Saban and what he is trying to do, I understand it. I respect it in the way that he's trying to get President Trump involved. But here's the way I really just, at the end of the day, Nick, the president's got more things on his plate than he needs to be dealing with besides NIL and college athletics.
Let me ask you this, hypothetical, you can only have one. Trump as the first ever commissioner of college football, or Nick Saban as president of the United States? You only get one.
Nick Saban, president of the United States.
All right.
I think there would be, he'd definitely take the South. Some people would have to kind of get over the fact that he beat his team, you know, multiple times and dominated college athletics. But here's the thing. Look, if Tommy Tuberville can become a senator in the state of Alabama, and that state, look, I'm from Mobile, Alabama, okay? Yeah. That state really bleeds red, crimson. Not a lot of office. So what I'm getting at is, if that can happen, anything can happen.
Yep.
But man, Nick, we are at a crazy point in time. Or yeah, sure, if Nick Saban wants to run for president, I think he's got a better chance of doing it than Donald Trump trying to run college football. Because as we've seen, not a damn person knows what they're doing trying to run college football.
I think Saban would beat Stephen A. Smith head-to-head in a primary, no doubt about it. Great stuff, brother. Thank you for the time.
Nick, be well, buddy. Thank you.
Trey Wallace covers all of that for Outkick.com, and you can read his story about Trump and an executive order with Nick Saban on how to fix that. We have Officer Tom with us.
We have to break.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said call.
No.
All right. We'll try to get Tom if we can on the other side. Let me see here. Wawa. Yes. 9 o'clock hour brought to you by Wawa. With Wawa's $2, $4, $6 menu, you can craft the order that you want with options at $2, $4, and $6. Pick one or try them all. Available now for a limited time. Gotta have a Wawa. Movies, music, what's on tap for the Dawn Show, all still ahead. Stay right here. It's Kale and Company.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app. And now, the morning mystery movie clip on Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Here, every inmate is confined alone to an individual cell. Unlike my predecessors, Wardens Johnson and Blackwell, I don't have good conduct programs. I do not have inmate councils. Inmates here have no say in what they do. They do as they're told. You're not permitted to have newspapers or magazines carrying news. Knowledge of the outside world is what we tell you.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
Once again today, a four-pack of tickets to see the Reading Phillies against the New Hampshire Fisher Cats at First Energy Stadium in Reading. It's coming up next Thursday, May 15th. For tickets, visit ReadingPhillies.com. Phil Omquist, what occurred today in music history?
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. On Kale and Company.
Today!
May 6th, we celebrate the birthdays of Bob Seger, who's 80, and Mark Bryan from Hootie the Blowfish. We also lost Brian Howe from Bad Company on this day in 2020. Singles include Shiny Happy People by R.E.M. in 91, Rocket Man by Elton John in 72, A View to a Kill by Duran Duran in 85, and Who Made Who by AC/DC in 86. Albums include Book of Dreams by Steve Miller in 77, Live at Folsom Prison by Johnny Cash in 68, Nervous Night by The Hooters in 85, and Back from the Dead by Hailstorm in 2022. Also in 2002, Bohemian Rhapsody was voted as UK's favorite single of all time. In 73, Paul Simon began its first tour without Art Garfunkel. In 65, Keith Richards worked out the opening riff to Satisfaction. In 78, The Knack was formed. And in 2005, Audioslave became the first U.S. rock act to perform a free outdoor show in Cuba. But lastly, on this day in 2023, the reformed Pantera played its first U.S. show in 22 years. Already seen them twice since. For Kale & Company, I'm Phil Omquist.
Unbelievable. Phil Omquist, there it is. The Dawn Show, about 6.5 minutes out. We find out what she has for the top of the hour.
Yeah, so we'll have some 911 calls. I'll give you my take on the verdict in the trial of Maurice Hill and what really happened to police officers, the insight in that one. You'll hear the 911 calls coming up as well for the air traffic controllers, why Philadelphia and what happened here was central to that. We have Dr. Michael Busler, our economist in the house. He'll be here to break down what's going on with the Fed, with the economy, tariffs, etc. Coming up at 11, we will break down, among other things, the Barstool Sports situation with a renowned psychiatrist and doctor, among other issues. Maha, we got it all, and I'll see you guys tonight.
Yes, you will.
Oligarchy.
Yeah, the oligarchies. We got to stop the oligarchies. Scott is in Bucks County. He's identified the movie clip this morning. Scott, what did we just play for you?
I believe it's a movie that you think that you can swim from, and that's Escape from Alcatraz.
That is correct. Scott, congratulations. You're off to see the Reading Phillies, brother.
Thank you.
You got it. There he is. Thank you, Scott, brother. In Bucks County. And yes, I probably would not be able to pull off that feat. And I would die trying, but some people might enjoy that. All right, everybody, have a great rest of your day. Stay tuned. Dawn is up next. Zioli today, 3 o'clock. Great American Pub, Phoenixville, pregame from 3 to 6. And then at 7:30 tonight, right on down the road at the Colonial Theater, it's Politics and Pines. Woo. Myself, Dawn, Dom, Rich, Stocker, Dan Borowski, fielding your questions in the audience. It'll be a great time, and then we'll see you again tomorrow morning.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale & Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.